right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things football in Portugal. You're listening to myself, Albert, and once again, I'm joined by the two titans of Portuguese football, Kevin Fernandes and Andrew Batista. Great to see you both again. Kevin, you're fresh back from a trip overseas. You've been to Madeira. How was that?
Yeah, good fun. Good fun. Always good to visit the motherland. Yeah, went for two matches, Sporting and Marítimo, the two teams that I'm more closely affiliated with. Sporting gave me a bit of a headache in the first half. I'm sure we're going to get into that eventually.
Oh, we will.
Marítimo was a little bit of a headache just because of the performance. Second division football isn't always the most consistent, but look, but both of the teams got the wins, so I'm happy. Drunk a lot, ate a lot. Now I'm back here. It rained today, so I'm miserable back in England. But yeah. It was a good trip, football wise at least.
Very good. And Andrew, me and you, we've been stuck here, stuck in the UK. But listen, your team perhaps transported you to a more enjoyable place with that performance, maybe?
Yeah, very happy. I mean, like Kevin, he might have been in Madeira, but I was eating and drinking a lot here anyway. Same as usual. That's what we do here. But yeah, very happy.
Absolutely. Well, without further ado, let's get on to it. And it's an interesting week this week, of course. And if we may even look ahead slightly, we've got Porto versus Sporting on the horizon next weekend. So it's interesting to look at both of those teams this week. They've almost, in some ways, been mirroring each other's form in recent weeks. You know, last week, Porto had to overcome some obstacles to get that win against Gil Vicente, while Sporting cruised to victory against Arouca. This week, Sporting had to deal with some of those obstacles, while Porto had a very enjoyable win. So that's all kind of playing out very nicely. We'll come on to that in not too long, but we should, of course, start with this weekend's action. And we will start with Sporting, as we always start with the team at the top of the table, who had to come from behind, Kevin, against Nacional in Madeira, 1-0 down at half-time, and a man up, thanks to a red card for Nacional's Ruan. However, I think it was a case of patience paying off in the second half. They stuck to their job, and four second-half goals, including that hat-trick from Pedro Gonçalves, maintained their winning start to the season. Kevin, you are over there reporting live from the Chapana. So, yeah, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, that was a little bit harder than expected. I think a lot of people were thinking it'd be another case of tiki-taka, and it wasn't as simple as the other matches. Not to say there was a poor performance. I don't think it was as much as a collective issue as perhaps more individuals. I think Morita was very poor. I think Fregeneda was having great difficulty progressing the ball. Trincão did not have his best game. Morita ended up going off injured, but he was very poor in the initial stages. Mangas is full of energy. He's quite influential in attack at the moment. He does go forward. He's quite vertical, but it's not like he's the best at executing that final pass. Sporting had plenty of opportunities in the first half. It's not like they were having difficulty carving Nacional open, but at the end of the day, it was a little bit harder to get that initial breakthrough. It did come in the second half. It did come after a red card. So the question mark will maintain, and I think it was what we've been talking about since the start. Perhaps the question mark next to Rui Borges' name is how will we fare when the situation is a little bit tougher than expected, if there isn't that sort of helping hand to get the first goal. It was a little bit more difficult than expected. Nacional, they looked most threatening on those set plays, the set pieces especially, those even just standard crosses in, those were their best opportunities, and that should be something Sporting are looking at, because there were patterns that you could see repeated with every ball that was going in. You could see the loose man, you could see the sort of chaos in the box. I don't think Nacional were overly impressive even in the phase before they got that red card, but they did make the job as difficult as they could given the circumstances. Obviously, we're familiar with Tiago Margarido. We're also familiar with Nacional's transfer policy, where they bring in a load of players. They're still gelling. I think they'll be good due to the individual characteristics of the likes of the goal scorer, Xavier Torres next to him. He's a decent centre half, traditional, but very decent at what he does. Lucas Florenzi is not a bad goalkeeper. Matheus Dias, Labidi, they're both good players. Chucho is a very good forward. I think they'll be good. I think it might take a while for them to gel. But yeah, I think it was a lot of Sporting just having a little bit of difficulty, a bit of bad luck to get the first goal. When it went in, it got a lot easier. Maybe the scoreline is a bit flattering for Sporting because it doesn't really show through the numbers that they had a little bit more of a tough time to get the breakthrough. But yeah, I don't think at the end of the day, if we did look at like XG and the quality of chances created at times, it's not overly exaggerated. Nacional weren't overly impressive. They had some good intentions to go forward and play football, even with the 10 men, but there's not a whole lot there to work with. There's not a lot of chemistry between the players. It's very much a work in progress still. And perhaps with some better individual games, because it looked like a one-off for the likes of Morita and Trincão, who have been very consistent. Maybe it would have been a little bit easier in general. And yeah, I think all that's left to do is really praise Pod, Pedro Gonçalves, because I think he's been having a bit of a tough time getting back into form. Obviously, he's back with the typical passes to goal because they're not shots. They're just perfectly placed. They look even more impressive in real life, I have to admit. Suárez probably deserved the goal. He obviously had one ruled out. I think he was very good with his with the back to goal play, just what he does in association, linking play together. Once again, it's what is going to really differentiate him from Gyökeres, because the comparison will always be there. He is a different player, and I think that's what's going to make the fans draw to him, even when the goals aren't there. Inácio was very important building up from the back, as is De Bas, but I think Inácio was really playing incisive balls with a lot of regularity. And other than that, I'm very impressed with the people who came on. Harder giving a response. What it means, if it's a farewell, if it's giving a response properly, we're going to have to wait and see, because I think that's still up to be questioned. I think Vagianidis, but he once again, a very good ball in when he comes in. So he will provide good service. I think it's a case of him getting up to speed. He clearly has a little bit more going forward than Fresneda, so we'll have to watch that space. And I think not the man of the match, because that's naturally going to go to Pedro Gonçalves, but Kosharashvili did change the game when he came on. I think he was much better in midfield. He kept things ticking a lot more. Seems a lot more up to speed, surprisingly, than Morita seemed in that game. And I think when Kosharash really gets up to speed and in terms of match fitness and can play the 90, because he's a very high intensity player, I don't think he'll let that spot go. I think he'll be considered, despite the need to rotate and all of that, I think he'll be considered the starting man, because he's you just saw the sort of difference. And it's something that Morita seems like he's been not at 100% for a while. He's obviously a very reliable, consistent player, but you just see a little bit more intensity, which suits the way that Højbjerg wants to play. That sort of on the front foot and at times very aggressive press, and the passing range that he has. It was on full show at the Chopin. And yeah, thankfully, and another thing to point out just to close, as much as there is a bit of a stigma around Chopin, because yeah, it's in the middle of the mountains, and yes, I can confirm it's very difficult to get there, because they do close roads off and it is a bit of a nightmare at times. The visibility is very good. It's not always cloudy, not in the summer. Let's calm down about that. But yeah, it's a lovely ground to visit. It's a bit of a unique one. And yeah, I don't think Sporting fans can complain too much, because even though there were a few sweats in the first half, it wasn't a thing to really be concerned about heading into the 60th, 70th minute. These things do happen. And look, I think that some of the individual performances weren't exactly recurring, and there's not a lot tactical that can be complained about. The chances were being created. It seemed a lot like a matter of when, not if. even before the red card.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very pleased to hear that your view is not obstructed, Kevin. So it's I'm relieved to hear that. I want to elaborate on quite a few of the points you made actually, but I'll come to you, Andrew, for your initial thoughts on the game as well. I think for me the real kind of underlying message of the game was what Kevin summed up when he said it was a professional performance from Nacional, if not particularly spectacular. But it was all about patience. It was all about not panicking. It was all about keeping creating the chances and waiting for the ball to hit the back of the net. And listen, Pedro Gonçalves must be an avid listener of the Long Ball Football podcast, because I think it was only last week that we were talking about maybe, or I was at least saying maybe he's had a bit of a slow start to the season. Maybe they're looking for a replacement. But he seems to have who have responded in this game, definitely.
He certainly was the difference maker in this game, and you know, I've said before that the Sporting team will be there will be a lot of great individual performances that will push them through, and I think this was one of them from Pedro Gonçalves. And I think it just shows when he's fit and when he's firing on all cylinders, he's one of the best players in the league without a shadow of a doubt. The problem is you're always just waiting for that next injury, which is obviously very unfortunate, but that's kind of been his problem for the last few seasons. I thought Sporting were good. Even when they went behind, they were the ones creating all the chances. It was Pedro Gonçalves. He took 8 shots in this game. That's striker numbers. So you could see he was really up for it. He was really trying to sort of make the difference. I thought, you know, even though Nacional started well, you know, Lisiero with that great corner, and I thought Lisiero was the best player, you know, on the pitch for Nacional in this game. But yeah, you find yourself, you know, one up against the champions at Chopana. That's fairy tale stuff. But it never really felt like they were going to be able to hold on to it. And then once that red card happened, it became even less likely. It was kind of like countdown to the equalizer, then countdown to goal number two, and you knew what was coming. I think Nacional struggled to find any solutions to what Sporting were doing, even though, you know, some players were struggling, like Trincão. There was still they didn't really know how to deal with the attack and the way and the pressure that they were exerting on Nacional. Chucho Ramirez, as good as he is, I don't think he helped his team much by, you know, you need to hold the ball up and try and win some fouls and sort of get stuck in just to ease the pressure. But the team just felt like they were really under the cosh for a long time. But overall, you know, this Nacional team are good. We know Thiago Magalhães is a good manager. You expect them to sort of bounce back, even though they've had a tough start to the season. But they've got a tough run of games coming up. They've got Casapia next, who, you know, aren't doing great, but they're still Casapia. They've got Porto, they've got Arouca, Braga, Moreirense. I mean, that's a tough run. So you want them to sort of figure it out as quickly as you can and start getting points on the board, because, you know, next thing we could be at Christmas and you could be in some real trouble. But, you know, I like him enough to know, like, I like him for a reason. He's a good manager. He's a good ideas guy. He sticks to his principles, and I think they will be fine. And in this game, it was just unlucky. I think the red card, you know, and they were already kind of behind. I don't think it was gonna really ever end that well. I'm gonna be a bit harsh on Lucas França. I think he's a good goalkeeper. I'm quite harsh on goalkeepers generally. I think the second goal, he maybe could have done a bit better. When I was watching, I was a bit like, I know Pedro Gonçalves, obviously, he's great at placing the ball, but at the near post, you have to position yourself better. You know what he's gonna do. You know how, you know, what the shot, I knew what the shot was going to be
Yeah.
beforehand, because that's the obvious shot.
I
As for
personally also
Sporting,
thought maybe for the harder goal as well, that maybe that's a bit harsh as well, because he kind of has to commit to the one
yeah,
side,
that's a
but
tougher one. Yeah, that's a tough one,
yeah.
because he's you're not really anticipating, you're anticipating it going across the goal,
Yeah.
whereas, you know, Harder sort of made that near post run. But as for Sporting, you know, confident display again. Pedro Gonçalves gets all the headlines. He had a fantastic game. Kevin's already mentioned Khocharashvili had a really solid performance. He showed that he can slot into that midfield competently. Luis Suarez, you know, two assists, and his work off the ball is what really impresses me as well. He's so relentless. I mean, if you're a defensive unit trying to play the ball out, you know, from the back, and you've got him in front of you with that sort of his energy that he has and his hardworking sort of diligence, that's really a nightmare. I think Hoiberg will be happy. The team showed resilience. They got some confidence going into the Porto game. And I think just generally, you know, you don't have that many big injury problems. I mean, Diomande, I'm sure you could do with Diomande, but I think De Bast and Gonçalo Inácio are doing great together. And it's almost like since De Bast has come into the team full time, Solanacio's kind of gone up a level, particularly in his passing and his distribution. It's been really good, and it's something like we knew that about Solanacio, but it's something that you're really seeing now. I mean, he looks really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you've both sort of summed up the real key areas of success for Sporting in this game. Kvaratskhelia was probably, obviously outside of Pedro Gonçalves, was probably the most eye-catching performance just in terms of coming off the bench, replacing Morita and making such a difference. I think has stated such a big claim for his position in that team, like you said, Kev. And to see him, my biggest memory from this game was late into the game where he wins a tackle and puts the ball up for a throw-in and he's celebrating the tackle. I think he didn't even win his own team a throw-in, but fair play to him. He clearly enjoyed it. But yeah, I thought he was definitely one of the main protagonists of the game. And it is definitely interesting to look at the striker positions. I mean, Luis Suarez, I'm still keeping a close eye on. I mean, the first thing to say is, listen, the guy's wearing number 97. The number of times I've looked at him and thought, wow, Thiago Ashgaio has gone really, he's getting really involved because I think he's wearing, because of the 47, looks like 97. It takes me a second. But anyway, he's making a big impact on the game. He's definitely not Victor Gyökeres. Most notably in this game, in this weekend when we saw Victor Gyökeres for Arsenal take a penalty off a 15-year-old kid, and then you see Luis Suarez. There's no way in hell that Victor Gyökeres would pass the ball to Pedro Gonçalves on that chance, So that's kind of the difference. I don't necessarily mind it. I know some people would kind of maybe read into that and say they would want their striker to have that
I
psychological
very much
edge.
did mind it. That's
No,
all I'm going to say.
I agree. That would be my position as well. But I know not everyone is like that. Some people wouldn't mind. Some people would really want him to have the kind of that killer instinct to say that's what your striker needs. I don't necessarily think it's a weakness, especially if, in a modern game, the striker position is not necessarily always just the person who's relied on to score the goals. We know that they have responsibilities in terms of depressing and leading the team. That I think he's doing very well, and I think perhaps you could even flip it and say, well, he's showing that kind of mental solidity to not necessarily need to score every chance he's got. Blah blah blah. You can spin it however you want, but I think the take-home message with Luis Suarez at the moment is that he's already, for me, making a big impact. Not least because of some of the finishes we've seen in previous games, but also just because of the way that the team are playing and the way that he's fitting in. Which I think is a real positive. The last thing before we move on, actually, that I did want to get your opinion, Kevin. I know you already said about Harder's goal. We don't know what it means. But if he was to leave, what do you make of that move? Because we've seen it in the press. It's kind of been touted as a big move to AC Milan, which I think is a natural. I think it's a good move for a player to move to a top club in Serie A. But I think it feels perhaps slightly strange in terms of timing, just in the sense that I don't think we've ever seen the best of him at Sporting, and he was perhaps brought in to be a long-term key player for the side, and it just doesn't seem to have happened.
Yeah, I think it'd be a real shame if Harder left at this stage for both parties, to be honest, because I don't think anyone was really expecting the impact that Harder had last season. Because all things considered, he did score 18 goals plus assists. If you combine the two, he was 18 of them in 2,000 minutes last season. So it's no laughing matter for a 19-year-old, considering. Not that many people, not that many strikers at that age are having that sort of protagonism in any side, never mind a top side in Portugal. So clearly, there's a lot of talent there to be working with. He does have an eye for goal. He's not a perfect player. He's far from it. He's got to be very technically refined in the future. There's a lot of work to be done in that regard. He's a very different player to Suarez, who does have that link-up play very much refined and tuned. Harder, it's a lot more methodical and there's a lot more thinking behind it, and it's not as polished, not even close. So I do get why there is a little bit of, it seems like a question mark around if he's the right man to be a backup, if he perhaps sees his future once again being very much the second man behind a preferred choice, and whether he is showing that sort of impatience and he does want to move elsewhere, because that's what most of the reports, it seems like, are saying. He does want that move. He does want, with the number nine shirt, to be considered, if not first choice, one of the first choices, not the second choice as he was last season. I think he
Mm.
wants to see more progress. But then again, I think at this stage, he hasn't shown too many arguments to be trusted on a level above, because what he's been doing with that secondary role has been great. With the starting role, he didn't do too much more last season. I think it was very much evident to see where he does still need to grow and show that patience. And look, if he doesn't want to do that, that is a fault of his mentality. It's not a fault of his potential or his quality. It's a shame, because Sporting invested for the long term, and what they're going to get in short term was good on the pitch. It's not bad financially, but it's not what it could be. And I don't think Harder is going to see great benefits if he ends up going to Milan. There was talks to a move to France. I think that makes more sense if that's
Yeah.
the reason behind the move. I do get why you'd want to go to Milan regardless, because look, the name will talk, the salary will probably talk. The mentality that he has, that hunger to constantly take the shot, to really assume that sort of responsibility, it will be that he thinks he can make something more of it. The striker position at Milan is not even 100% closed. There was the whole thing with Boniface, which seems to have fallen through. Jimenez doesn't seem to be fully trusted. So look, it's not 100% certain what's going on there. There is potential for more, but yeah, it doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence when a player who's had success here, who clearly likes being here, who showed with that celebration one way or another that there is some feeling towards the club. It's a bit of a strange one. I don't think I really agree. One with Kuibodish's kind of preference, because it seems like he's not the biggest fan of Harder at the end of the day. And some of his words in the past, calling him basically a little bit bad with the ball, to roughly translate, I don't think that was particularly kind or really the best thing to have been said, considering he was in a good moment. But I don't think Harder has a reason to leave at this stage, to be honest.
Yeah, I do find it a slightly, I just find it a slightly puzzling move. I think if it's going to happen, it has to be because it's led by the player. And I think I would only really understand it from the player's perspective if he's going off to be a certain number nine at another club. Because I can, of course, accept any player not wanting to be a backup. But I just thought it was an interesting thing. And it's also interesting to look at from the
He
club's
seems
perspective.
very sideways when
It
you
does seem
put Milan in the
sideways.
picture.
Yeah, especially because he's not going to walk into AC Milan and be the starting striker in a million years for me. So that seems slightly strange. But yeah, it is also interesting to look at from the club's perspective as well, because clearly the tactic going into the season was, look, we've lost Gyökeres, who was the first name on the team sheet every week and was never going to be dropped. The answer is not to try and find that again. It's to have two options who are going to compete and lift each other up. So if Harder does leave, then you just have to find a replacement. So it does seem like a little bit. I don't think it makes sense for the club to lose the player. I don't think it makes sense for the player to go to a club like Milan. But of course, if it is being led by the player and they do have their heart set on leaving, it's hard to keep a player like that at the club. So we'll see. We'll
It
see how
is
it plays
harder.
out. It is
I'm
very much
sorry.
harder. We'll see how it develops over the next few days anyway. But I do want to move on to Porto, because as I alluded to, it was a fantastic result for the club. They dominated Casapia at the Dragão and got themselves a 4-0 win. This was very much like, more like the performance we saw on the opening day of the season against Vitória. It was a very impressive display. Two goals from Borja Sainz and one each for Nahuel Pérez and William Gomes. It was a particularly impressive goal from Gomes as well, which I'm sure Andrew will describe with great delight. But ultimately, I think after that struggle against Gil Vicente Andrew, it was just nice to get back to that kind of very positive type of performance that we saw on the opening day of the season, with the real kind of dominance in the game.
Definitely. And going into this game, there were question marks over, what adjustments Farioli would make in the absence of Samu. And then Pepe gets injured, he hurts his eye in the warm-up, the ball hits him awkwardly and he's ruled out. And then William Gomes steps in. It's unlucky for Pepe, who he's on a good run of form finally, and then he gets injured in this way. It's very much the story of his life in a way at Porto, where, as soon as he gets a bit of momentum, he sort of loses it. But despite these issues, what we saw was dominant. It was a professional and ruthless performance. You know, it wasn't perfect, and there's definitely still some things to work on. But it was hard to fault anyone's performance in this game. You know, I thought Alberto Costa with another great game. He continues to really make that position his own. And you know, he's so good on the ball. He's really intense. He's kind of aggressive, but he's also got great quality, you know, in his passing and his crossing. I thought he was really good. Two assists, you know, one of them was that shot that was deflected in. It's hardly a, you know, a great pass or anything like that, but you know, the game is the game. But again, a good performance from the two centre backs, even though there wasn't much to do, because let's be clear, Casapia were pretty dreadful in this game. But you know, good performance from the centre backs. I think Nuno Pérez continues to sort of improve. I mean, he's clearly a very talented centre back that has, you know, he's a bit rough around the edges. But then you get to play with someone like Bednarek, who's very experienced, very calm, he's composed, he has a presence in that back line. And I think that's good for a player like Pérez. The midfield again was immense. You know, Froholt was very good. Alan Varela was great. Gabri Veiga, good again. This is, you know, the midfield is sort of getting that momentum of being of game after game looking good, even though they struggle in the Juve Cent game. If you keep them in there, they're going to keep doing the things they do very well, particularly Alan Varela. I'm a big Alan Varela fan. I don't think there's been a podcast episode where I haven't mentioned him once, because yeah, I'm a really big fan of how he plays. Borgo Sainz with a great brace. He kind of needed it because he had a poor game against Juve Cent. He was one of the players I pointed out that had a pretty poor game. It was a tough game, but he particularly had a bad game. But yeah, really good brace. You know, he's known for cutting in on the left and finishing. So it was good to see him get two sort of varied goals like this. One being more of like a finish, like a striker's finish, you know, in the box, and then the second, obviously the gift from Chamba later in the game. And then there was the William Gomes goal, which is the sort of pick of all the goals. And he's a 19-year-old, you know, he can be frustrating at times when you watch him, but he's so talented, and that's very clear. And his ability to run with the ball, you know, 1v1, dribble past players, he has that confidence. And then to sort of do all that and then take that shot from there and finish it that way. I mean, he's really talented. And I think, you know, if Pepe's out for a while, it seems like he will be the stand-in, and he's, you know, we should trust him, even though he's young. He might not be good every time, but he is pretty good. Luke de Jong had a good game. He made a nuisance of himself. He took up some good positions. You know, he didn't have sort of, he wasn't as eye-catching as Samu is on the pitch. You know, he doesn't have that intensity. But he also wasn't asked to do what Samu does either, because he can't. He doesn't have the legs to, and it's not something he's ever done. I think the most important thing was getting a confidence boost and a dominant win without any fresh injuries going into the Sporting game. That's really big, because it's going to be a tough game, because Sporting, you know, they're sort of on a good run. We just spoke about how good they are. We got a Francisco Moura sighting, came on, and it seems like he's trying to get him back in as soon as possible. You know, that's a bit of a problem position at the moment with Martin Fernandes out. But we got to see him a bit. There were a few adjustments made to the system. As Farioli had Martin sort of joining in and sort of being that extra man in midfield. Francisco Moura and Zaidu, they're not really good at that, but I think he's gonna try and get Francisco Moura to do something like that. So yeah, overall, just a really good performance. Happy with the results. Casapia were really poor though.
I forgot about your dislike for Casapia, Andrew. This reared its head last season, didn't
It
it?
did, but this game was particularly bad. I think the only positive is probably that Patrick Skerda was so good, because it could have been six or seven. He made some pretty good saves. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm not having a go at you because I had exactly the same thing in my notes there. That Sequeira was probably the only positive for Casapia in this game. Listen, we'll let them off. They'll have easier games in the future where we'll judge them a bit harsher. But I definitely think that the main positive from this game was the impact of, in my humble opinion, the two players who kind of came in off the back of injuries, and I will include Luke de Jong in that. Personally, even if, as you say, it wasn't perhaps an incredibly eye-catching performance from the striker, but I think it was a very important performance because what do we need from Luke de Jong, or what do Porto fans need from Luke de Jong in this situation? It's not, like you say, it's not to recreate the Samu performance, which is never going to happen. It's to give what he can to the team. And I think we did see that in many ways with his experience, his hold-up play, his, like you say, it sounds like damning with faint praise, but just being a nuisance in the box and causing problems and ultimately giving space to the other, perhaps more talented players to kind of do their thing a bit more, which is might sound again a little bit patronizing, but I think it is an important role to play. And like you said, the most important thing was the adjustment without Samu and without anyone who can be a direct replacement. And it was to just kind of adjust the team slightly to get the best out of the other players. And you know, like you say, Borja Sainz really was one of those players who really benefited from that, I think, with many, many more chances to run at goal and to get into the box and all that kind of thing. And the two goals were well deserved. And of course, William Gomes, who was a surprise addition, but again, another player who I think, when we talked in maybe even in the preview show in the first episode of the season about perhaps squad depth being the thing that might undo Porto, to see those type of players making a good impact is just another real positive to the team. Kevin, I'll get your thoughts on the game as well, because obviously you won't be too pleased to see this kind of result for Porto ahead of the Clásico, but I think, you know, they do deserve some credit, surely.
Yeah, Porto look great. There's no escape, even if I wanted to. The facts are there. The performances are there. The result was there in this case, especially. Porto do look great. They look completely different to what they were last season. As we've said, even in the pre-season show, because of what they showed at that point, a very different intensity. Their high press is going to create them a lot more chances, as it has done. It's going to suffocate teams. It's going to really put them under the cosh. And that will definitely be something that Sporting will look at, because I think that was a huge part, especially of the Supertaça. It was very much Benfica's high press and how Sporting managed to escape it. And that was probably the best part about Sporting's game. And look, even though Benfica did win, their performance was not at all convincing. And I don't think that they would have been very impressed by that. And Porto are doing these presses, even just swarming individual players at some stages with such intensity that, look, Inacio has a mistake in him occasionally. If one or Freixenet is not the most comfortable on the ball at all times, there is a mistake in some of these players. Sporting have shown in certain instances in the past that perhaps in these high pressure situations, they're not as seasoned as Porto, that comes with a whole different, and look, I don't want to use this word, but aura at the end of the day, because you go to the Dragão and you do feel the weight of it. Porto are an experienced club at this sort of stage. They are a superior club to Sporting in that right, because they know what it is to win in these big matches. They probably the masters of it, even compared to Benfica in that realm. They're visiting Alvalade. Sporting have improved in these sorts of results and these performances in these sorts of games, I feel. But Porto are coming off of very good momentum. And they really have the opportunity to make Sporting feel uncomfortable in the initial stages. And that's usually what was their undoing in those sorts of matches. So it will be a very interesting contrast. In terms of this game, it's not a lot more to be said. I think Andrew really resumed it well. It's just cruise control. Casapia did not impress us in the game against Sporting, nor in their last game. They looked overly impressive. It looked very one-dimensional. Obviously, they're not a club with a lot of resources, but usually they're sort of astute signings and really maximizing the little they have and being organized, compact, and hitting on the break. That's usually what they're known for. It wasn't a great showing from them. Not a whole lot of positives to take from it. From the little I saw, it looked like a Patrick Skoda show. A couple of plays here and there, probably superior to the back line, because that was a horrendous showing. I can't really be kinder than that. I expect big things from Shamba. I was very impressed by him. It was a poor showing from him. Look, it happens. But yeah, other than that, I think the two standouts for me, at least, were the two wingers, just because I think Borja Sainz hasn't been the most impressive player so far, but I can see why he was brought in, because I felt last season, and I think I did mention this in the preseason show, Portal did lack that cutting edge, just really entering the final third and having someone who, outside of Samu at least, you know you're going to get a good shot from him. He's going to take the shot. He's going to prepare the shot well. He's going to make that incisive run. Sainz is that sort of player. He reminds me a bit of Pedro Gonçalves in the first season at Sporting, who got 20 plus goals. And it's because he was making those movements. He was comfortable taking those sorts of chances. Sainz perhaps won't have the most impressive performances in compared to Pepe or even the likes of Veiga or Froholt, but I think it'll be very useful because he has a lot of that final third impact that Porto did lack last season. And William Gomes, he's more than an alternative for the right wing from what we've seen. Perhaps won't be the most consistent. He's not the most complete player at the moment. He's got a lot to grow. But in terms of raw ability, technical ability, and the ability to make things happen and really have the audacity to try and do it, he's got that in abundance. And that goal, there's not a lot of players in that Porto team who would do it. Perhaps only Mora would have the audacity to even try it. So I think it's a very good sign to have the likes of Mora and usually William Gomes on the bench, because those are two game changers in the making. For sure. Yeah, I don't think Porto could ask for much more. That this game was done before half time was over. It's a nice little prolonged rest, at least mentally, until the Clásico. And at that point, it's going to be a test of fire for both sides at this point.
Absolutely. Andrew, I know Kev sort of gave his thoughts on the upcoming Clásico a little bit there, so I don't know whether you want to offer any thoughts ahead of the big game on Saturday.
I'm a bit worried about how I want to see how our centre backs fare against Luis Suarez. I think he's quite difficult to contain. He's quite difficult to sort of keep track of because of the way he moves. And then obviously Pedro Gonçalves and Trincão. I mean, Trincão had a bad game against Nacional. He didn't even have a shot on target. But the way he started the season and the quality that he has, I mean, that front three is really something, something vicious. So that's the real only concern, because I don't think we've had a proper test where we've had a really good striker and a good couple of wingers to really test Bednarek and Perez. And then obviously, is it going to be Zaidu or Futuş Mora start that game? Albert Costa, he's very good offensively. His defending's okay, but he's not like the greatest defender ever. So that's really the only big concern I have. Now I'm a bit worried about Kvaratskhelia, because I thought it was going to be Morita, and with Morita, I know what he is. He's a good midfielder, but you sort of know what he is. Whereas now it's a little bit different. But I think our midfield is really strong at the moment, and I'm quite confident in how they'll sort of deal with that. But yeah, it's going to be a really great game. I think this is a really well matched sort of showdown with two teams that are in good form, that look good, that are sort of playing almost to the heights of their power. I think, Sporting can improve and Porto can improve in ways as well, but they're sort of playing at a really high level at the moment, and it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And for the neutral perspective as well, I mean, I always say the same thing, but when it comes to these big games, this is what you want. You don't want these Clásicos kind of marred by teams in bad form or going through managerial issues, that kind of thing. You want these teams playing as well as they can, going up against each other. And it does feel like even this early stage of the season, we've got kind of two of the heavyweights of this league going up against each other at a great time. So very much look forward to that game on Saturday. And of course, very much look forward to dissecting all that action next week. We should, of course, talk about Benfica, who won 3-0 against Tondela in their second game of the season, an improved performance compared to that 1-0 win on the opening day of the season against Estrela. It was goals from Ivanovic, Alzhenes, and Prestiani, which got them the 3-0 win. And gentlemen, I am going to keep my mouth fairly tightly shut on this one because, as evidenced in our podcast group chat, I got quite a few things wrong about this game. So I'll leave it to you guys. I'll tell you what, Kev, I'll come to you first. Go on. What did you make of this one?
By the little I saw once again, it was a long weekend. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It seemed a lot of the same from Tondela, which is practically very good intentions, Good moments, not a whole lot of luck, and once again, the score line was not exactly favourable. There's a lot there to work with. Mad Funch, again, was great. It's not always great to be constantly talking about the goalkeeper, but he does look like a very good goalkeeper. He is saving Tondera a lot. And look, if we're praising the likes of Hornicek at Braga, look, it's relative. You need a good goalkeeper in this league. I think the back line wasn't all that bad. I think individually they had good moments. I think there were a lot of moments where there were incisive passes made, and I'm not sure that the front line, like, there was a coordinated sort of structure to kind of cut those passing lanes. I think at times the likes of Dahl were making very incisive passes. I think Dedic was coming through with menace, attacking the flank quite well. Alcorn's, again, he's very intelligent with his positioning. I think that was more what was creating the problems in this game, is more a positional thing than like pure inspiration from any of the players. I just think that the likes of Pavlidis really brings others into the game. As poor as a performance as he had, from what I saw, I think he's just very selfless, and he has to sacrifice at this moment his personal performance for the gain of the likes of Ivanovic, even Hiush to explore space, Alcorn's obviously down the right hand side, and Dedic as well. I don't think Obrador had that great a game. I think he might be a bit of a problem area. I think we saw a huge impact when Dahl came in. I think Bresciani came in very well, and as much as we do talk about the fact of Benfica not really trusting the creators among the squad or have one that's a true standout at this stage, I think he's come in quite a few times recently since quite a poor cameo in the Club World Cup. And he showed that he deserves a place in the squad. So we'll see what happens there. And I'd say, personally, the biggest change about Benfica's performance is having Tomás Araújo at the back. Because as much as I like António Silva, and look, he, as a defender, pure defender, he is solid. He's a very good box defender. He's come into good form. On the ball, neither him or Otamendi stand out. And Tomás Araújo, with those incisive passes, the progressive play, it's not even a comparison in terms of quality. Araújo gives Benfica more solutions. He accelerates plays a lot faster. He finds passes that neither can do, I believe, at times, or are willing to do. And even carrying the ball forward and really just advancing a few meters to then find a solution, Araújo really makes Tondela a lot more uncomfortable, and any other position more uncomfortable, just because you know he's got a complete skill set in that regard. And as good as the other back line can be, Otamendi and António Silva aren't as complete in that area. And yeah, I think it was quite convincing from Benfica as it was Porto. From the start, the result never seemed in doubt. Tondela had a couple of good phases, but the result seemed kind of inevitable. And look, I think we've said the same thing about Tondela until this point, which is they've got good signs and they've got good players, and they've showed here and there phases in matches that they can do more. I'm going to say the same again, but yeah, it's not 100% convincing at this stage. And if it continues, I'm not sure if Vieira even gets the opportunity to build on what I've seen more from Tondela from than Casapia, for example. I think that this performance, despite the scoreline, was more convincing than what I saw Casapia do against Porto or Benfica, for example. And for that reason, I'd have to back Tondela to a decent enough degree to stay up and somewhat comfortably, because I'm not too convinced at the bottom of the table by the quality of all of the alternatives to go down, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that is a very, very good point, actually, that Tondela in this game definitely showed more than other smaller teams have showed against the bigger clubs. Although, you know, from what we saw a bit of Benfica's performance in the first game of the season, Andrew, perhaps they're still a little bit behind in their preparation. I definitely still think we're seeing the effects of a short pre-season where the team is still getting up to scratch And definitely in the first half, I thought Tondela had moments where they could have done more, where they could have caused more problems and perhaps made it even more of a kind of test for Benfica. But as it was, they weren't able to, and Benfica did take advantage. 3 goals is a very comfortable scoreline. I think the two things I went on record as saying was, one, that Joe Hodge was having a very good game and he was then hooked at half time. And two, that Benfica weren't going to score with a player like Aljunied on the right wing. And then he goes and finishes in the way that he did. So, in many ways, I feel like Benfica have me to thank. But no, it was an improvement on last week, even if still not perfect. But I still think that Benfica are an improving team, especially based on, like I said, the preseason that they had.
Definitely, Tondela, they did a lot of the same things that we've seen them do well this season. They were positive, they were brave in possession, they were proactive, and they were a little bit unlucky early on anyway. And then, Benfica grew into the game. And we saw some rotation in this one. I think he had one eye on Europe and he started Tomás Araújo. And I agree with what Kevin was saying. He's definitely an improvement on António Silva. António Silva will be starting the Champions League game, and he is the starter in this team, weirdly. I don't know why exactly, because Tomás Araújo is clearly a better centre back. But and then we saw a rare Samuel Swarish start as well in the league, which was kind of strange—a goalkeeper sort of, rotation. It's not something you see often, but it was good to sort of see something different. I agree. I didn't think Obrador played really well. I think he struggled in this game big time. A lot of the creativity I noticed was through the fullbacks. There wasn't really any other creativity except Aljunied, who, Aljunied is going to do Aljunied things. He's going to try his best. He's going to try and force it. He's going to make runs and try and make passes that maybe he's not in his repertoire, but he's trying. And that's something that, you always, every time I watch Aljunied, I'm like, this is the kind of player you want in your team. A guy that tries, a guy that puts a shift in. And I think Brunelage likes that about him. He feels like he can count on him. But a lot of the creativity was coming from Dedic. It came from Samuel Dal when he was on. And then obviously Dedic has that great pass to Ivanovic for that first goal.
Lovely.
And fantastic finish from Ivanovic. He's a proper striker. The one thing I'll say about Pavlidis and him playing in that sort of two striker sort of system is they do still look like lone strikers that are playing next to each other. Pavlidis is more open to sort of like knowing that he has a strike partner, so you can see him looking for Ivanovic, but he's not getting the same thing. Ivanovic is not reciprocating that. I think he's a striker. I'm going to shoot, I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to do my thing. If Brunelage is going to persist with this two striker system, they probably need to work on their chemistry a bit. They still have a right wing problem. I think they need a sort of right wing or at least an attacking midfielder to help provide some creativity. There's some talk today. I saw something about Carlos Alvarez from Levante. They're interested in him. He can sort of play both of those positions. But then, a couple hours later, Levante obviously released a sort of press briefing saying, yeah, he's going to cost quite a bit of money. So, this is the game. This is the transfer game. But yeah, back to the game. Benfica looked good. This was a case of Benfica have better players. Tondela, they tried their best. Ultimately, the difference was their strikers. Aljunied was very good. There was some good play. Richard Rios was decent. I thought Sheldrup was disappointing again. He never really
He's
catches
not
my
really taking
attention.
his chance for me.
He's not. He's really not. And this is now two games. I mean, he's played quite a bit already early on in the season, and he's just not impressing me. Prestiani looked good when he came on, and I think he sort of has a claim to like being in the starting 11. I mean, he scored his goal. He's still quite raw, and he makes a few, silly decisions, but you expect that from a young player who's sort of learning, and I think his energy and his willingness to run is impressive. So yeah, I mean, they won, it was fine. Tondela tried their best, and it is what it is, really.
No, and I think that's a very, very fair assessment. It was very much a case of job done, which is totally fine. I think that the question marks for me with Benfica still just lie in how they're going to be able to sustain their form and whether they're building a team good enough to mount a title challenge and a kind of to be competitive in Europe? Because I think, you know, what we're all kind of alluding to is that there are still perhaps some question marks in the team, and they may be able to get a win over the line against Tondela and against Estrella Amadora in the first week. But, you know, is that going to be sustainable? Is the form going to be sustainable? And are they going to build a kind of positive team with momentum and belief in the dressing room and belief from the fan base and all those kind of things that you need to sustain over a whole season, especially when the opposition are looking in a very good place in terms of both Sporting and Porto. All right, gentlemen, I think we will look ahead to a few other games from this weekend. Perhaps we might rattle through them a little bit, but there were some quite eye-catching scorelines from the rest of the league that I think we do at least need to touch on. One of the more surprising results, perhaps, from the weekend, Braga's 2-2 draw with ABS. They did lead through Rodrigo Salazar penalty, but they fell behind before the end of the first half with goals from Rafael Barbosa and Diogo Duarte. I thought Braga were knocking on the door in the second half to try and get something over the line, but they had to wait until the 86th minute before Fran Navarro was able to head home an equaliser and salvage a point for Braga. Andrew, I'll come to you first on this one, because for me, it just seems clear that Braga's issue at the moment is not with creating chances, which they seem to do in abundance, but it's issues at the back, because for me, the defensive issues in this game were right at the forefront of the game. I mean, the two goals they conceded, I thought, were very poor.
I don't think it was just in this game. I think this was a case of the sort of chickens coming home to roost a bit for Braga. You know, they kicked off the season with the two back-to-back 3-0 wins against the newly promoted teams, but they gave up a heck of a lot of chances in those games. And you know, if they didn't have Hodnicek in goal, who's a very good goalkeeper, who kept them in the in those games and kept the clean sheets, it could have been worse. In this game, no such luck. You know, they go ahead, and then there's the Rafael Barbosa, and I think if he doesn't miss kick it, Hodnicek probably saves it. But he kind of miss kicks it. He fools him. Hodnicek goes flying. It's one of those sort of comical goals that happens in football. And then the cheek to celebrate it. Rafael Barbosa, come on, you miss kicked it. But anyway,
If that was me, Andrew, I would be running off with my shirt off,
take your
waving
jersey
it
off, of
around my
course.
head.
You know, Avies, we've spoken about them. They're not the best team. They don't play the greatest football. And Braga kind of made them look kind of good, I guess. You know, even the second goal, Diego Duarte's goal, that was really good play. You know, he was strong on the ball, the turn, the finish. It's a good play again. But yeah, Braga's problem at the moment is in defense. And you know, I don't want to be mean to him, but how is Paulo Oliveira your starting centre back in this day and age? It's just baffling. He's probably thinking about some of the other games he's got coming up, and I don't know, but it didn't really make sense to me. I thought El Ouazzani, who was the other striker in this game, was pretty anonymous as well. Yeah, they're relying a lot on specific players. You know, Rudik Salazar is one of them, and then obviously Leonard Lelu, who's got four assists this season. Braga scored eight goals, so half of the goals has all been assisted by him. So that just shows you the sort of reliance on him and his attacking threat. So yeah, I mean, there was sort of a question mark at the beginning of the season. We spoke about this in the preview show. Carlos Vicens, can you do it? This new thing and all the six midfielders, etc., etc. The answer is maybe, but he needs to sort his defense out. You know, because Avies is not that great. Yeah, and that's it, really. Oh yeah, and I saw there was another interesting stat from Avies. I don't want to, you know, kick them when I'm down, because I've already kind of said they're not very good. But they had a pass completion rate in this game of 58%, which is tremendous. It's unseen in this league. You don't see that kind of numbers. So there you go.
Fantastic. I mean, it's like you, I do genuinely steer away from sort of singling out players in a negative sense, but yeah, I think Paulo Oliveira had a game to forget. I do wonder what yes, forgive me, I forget the name, but they've got the young German centre back who played at under 20 World Cup this summer or whatever it was. Good
Yeah, RMB,
player.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's he sitting on the bench thinking? What have I got to do to get a game? And you know, but the very interesting thing about Braga is, listen, as we all know, football is a completely a results business. So we can sit here talking about, you know, the holes in the team or whatever. But certainly at the beginning of the season, the results were there, you know, with the wins in the league and also the European qualification campaign is going well. So it is an interesting one because obviously Vicenza is still is, you know, still very much there, and it's kind of been a success so far in a weird way. But like you said, this game was the example where it didn't go their way because things have gone their way. They've been a little bit fortunate to kind of some of their results have flattered to deceive a little bit, and this was the game where they didn't get away with it. Kev, I don't know if you've got anything to add, but yeah, it was just it was a game where, like I said, their chickens kind of came home to roost. And if Navarro doesn't head that in the 86th minute, I think this is it looks even worse.
Yeah, we've not been 100% convinced by Braga so far, and I think this game against a, on paper at least, slightly better opponent has really confirmed our doubts, because even against Alverca last week, and Alverca look far from a finished product, and there are a lot of question marks there, they still had moments that they could have been punished for some comically bad defending and just very simple play from Alverca, which split them wide open. In this game, it wasn't even much of the sort, because both of the goals were not particularly fascinating or coming from great merit of the opposition for some brilliant, intricate play. But the defensive issues were there again. And really, what changed between this week and last week on paper was Hornicek did not save. Hornicek did not have the same sort of match that he had last week. Saves were not made from the goalkeeper. So if that's what they depend on defensively, then it's not a good sign. And look, I will have some sort of sympathy for them, because the rotation has been great, and I personally at least do not think that this is their best 11. I hope that Vincennes does not think that this is their best 11, because that would be very, very, very questionable defensively. And even going forward, because I am not all that convinced by this strike partnership. I continue to think that Braga have two better solutions in Navarro, and I know he probably doesn't count because he's forcing move or whatever's going behind the scenes. I'm not 100% sure, but Banza as well, he's still on the books and he's
Crazy.
superior to both of those options. So I think that's a very strange one. Obviously, the likes of Dorsal is on the bench is also another mark. Bright in me should obviously be playing. Paulo Oliveira should not have been playing for Sporting in 2015. I don't know how he's playing for Braga 10 years later. Even less in quite an aggressive back line at times. Didn't make sense then. Does not make sense now. And the last point I'd probably put on that is I don't know what to do or what to say about the right back issue, because Vitor Carvalho has his arguments for, as well as arguments against side. I don't think Vitor Gomes was particularly better, and that potentially will continue to be a question mark, because I didn't mind Lager Bielka there in the game that he played in the Europa League qualifiers, but he needs to be in our back line as well, because he doesn't look that bad a centre back in general. So yeah, I think these sorts of question marks will continue, because look, Leilu and Salazar are having quite a lot of influence, and those sorts of plays, moments down the right, down the flank, and then coming in and exploiting whatever space is created, seems to be working. Braga aren't necessarily poor in terms of chance creation, but there are, it seems like in the final moment and in the defensive sector, that there are still some question marks there. Whether that has to do with the personnel and perhaps depth not being as good as perhaps hoped, I don't know, but we will see. In terms of Avies, and I really don't want to be insensitive, but they're just not very good at football. And I don't know what else to say other than that. It's just, it doesn't look inspiring on the pitch or in terms of personnel, because I do rate Akinsola. I think he's a point of inspiration. Rafael Barbosa is not a bad player for that level. Duke Spencer, I think he had some decent moments in this game, but it's not enough at all. In midfield, in defence, I'm not too convinced about Duarte in terms of hold-up play and what really you need to see from these sorts of teams to survive and to really even win points against their rivals, not even in these matches where they're not expected to get a point against Braga. I don't see this sort of scoreline repeating itself. I think it's an exception to whatever rule. I don't see them getting gifted the sort of situation that happened with Barbosa because that was a clear miss kick. I think you could really see by his body language. Yeah, there are a couple of players I rate in that squad, but I think it's really doomed, to be perfectly honest with you. I do not see them getting anywhere close to escaping the bottom three at any stage in the season. And that's perhaps really dependent on what we see from the likes of Alverca, those sorts of teams that aren't 100% gelled, or even a surprise package like Nacional, who we do rate, or even Santa Clara having more issues than they've had already. Look, I don't know, but they're just poor. Really, really poor.
Yeah, and do you know the thing was, we had these conversations about AVS last season where it's a real problem for a team when they just don't seem to have any kind of identity. And I know that's not a real sort of analytical word to use when it comes to a team, but what's the process behind signing the players? What are they looking for? What are they trying to build? Even down to who.
We kind of on I think on this program we kind of criticize sides for really doing long ball forward and trying to depending on that sort of thing. I don't see them have the personnel to even play that way, to be
No,
perfectly honest. I don't
no.
see passing ability. I don't see the hold up ability. So it's really, really strange at the end of the day, because at least with Kazapi you can see the intention. The quality might not be there, the conditions to do more might not be there. But can I really say that AVS has a top tier goalkeeper who will save and save and save? Whether the back line can absorb the pressure, whether the midfield can escape with some sort of tendency that are solid in terms of positioning? Is the unit compact? Do they have players that can break? Do they have a forward that can hold up and really take a chance? Not really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And do you know what? It's interesting now to then look at who Braga have played this season, because they've played Tondela on the opening day, Alverca in the next game, and then now AVS. Probably three teams who are real candidates to go back down. Not to say they necessarily will, but two newly promoted teams and the team that only survived via the playoff last season. And I think in all three of those games, we've talked about them leaking chances, and it was only in this game that they were punished for it. So big questions to be asked for Braga going forward. I do want to quickly talk about Morarens versus Vitória, because it's the first appearance of the season for Morarens on the Long Ball Football podcast. We didn't get an opportunity to talk about them in the previous show or the first 2 weeks of the season, but this was in fact their third league win in a row. They beat Santa Clara and Alverca in the first two games, and then in this game beat Vitória 2-0. An interesting game to watch, because I thought, in fairness, it was a fairly even game, but it was 2 goals in 2 minutes from Guillermo Schettino, which proved to be the difference. Yeah, Andrew, we talked about Vitória before, obviously, but Morarens, I mean, I'm not going overboard with them just yet. I think it's been a very competent start to the season, and I think that's a good word to use. They look like they're building a kind of competent and solid side at the very least. But this was a good victory for them to beat a team of the size of Vitória.
Definitely. And the first half, they did struggle a bit, I thought. Vitória looked quite up for it in that first half, and they dominated a lot of the sort of attacking play. And you're going into half time, I remember sitting there thinking, well, Morenes need to figure something out, because it doesn't, it looked like, it was just a matter of time. And then you get those two quick fire goals right at the beginning of the half, and you could just see Vitória's heads drop, and you could see Morenes kind of relax, and they start controlling the tempo, and you start seeing some of the quality of a lot of those players that they've got. I mean, Alan Zingo, I think, had a good game. He tends to have good games. It's kind of his thing. I'm surprised he's still at Morenes. The great cross for the first goal, and obviously Guillaume Schutin was there waiting, which is really good. As soon as the second goal went in, like I said, Vitória's heads dropped. But if you're Vash Costa, so far so good. 3 games, 3 wins. And you look pretty good. We'll see when they get a real test, one of the bigger teams, or one of the sort of better teams, let's say. We'll see how they do. Vitória, despite doing a lot of good stuff in the first half, they was like a lack of concentration almost at the beginning of the first half. It seemed like they weren't sort of ready for it. I'm still not really convinced by this team. I'm not convinced by Miguel Maga. He always seems to, every time I'm watching him and I'm sort of focusing on him, he's doing something silly. Gustav Silva, not super convinced on him either. I thought, Akanji looked lively, but he always does, but he can't seem to sort of find a place in the team and deliver good performances consistently. But ultimately, there's some issues, I think, with this Vitória team. They haven't really been able to put together a good performance. They haven't been convincing at all. And, the transfer window is going to close pretty soon. And that means the squad issues, which do exist, they need to be solved with what you've got. So, yeah, we'll see how they get on. But, yeah, not looking good for them.
Yeah, and Kev, I'm keen to stick on Moreirense because I feel like we have hammered Vitória for a couple of weeks in a row now. Although they do probably deserve it. But what I mean when I think about Moreirense in kind of recent years, last 3, 4, 5 years, it's important to remember that this is quite a small team. They've done well probably to stay up in quite a few years. There's never really been a time when I've looked at the team and thought that they were doing something really interesting or really exciting. I think the closest I came to that was, under your friend and mine, Vasco Sciabra, when I thought they had a kind of a character about them that I liked very much. But nonetheless, they've kind of for this team to be competing in the Premier League is a success in itself. And I think even players like Alan Zinho, they do have some interest there, although yeah, like I said to Andrew, I'm not building them up too much, but I'm pleased to see them get this type of win. And it's a look, a fantastic start to the season. Not just this, but Santa Clara as well, I think was a good win.
100%. They're definitely the surprise package of the season, and I'm not 100% sure whether we should be too surprised because they're always there or thereabouts in terms of being a very stable side, showing some good signs, being again not one of the bigger clubs in the division, and Portugal seems to have this sort of tendency to have the likes of an Arouca, Casa Pia, and Moreirense, sides from small towns in comparison to the alternatives, with subpar conditions really financially and really maximizing what they've got. And I think in this case it's a case of a very talented coach, seen from the time that he was at Leiria. Vasco Teixeira da Costa is definitely one of the more promising in Portugal at this moment and has been a name to look out for a while. Again, another one under 40 years old, seems to be quite a few of them coming through at the moment, joining the likes of Tiago Margarido. And I think it's a case of a team that knows what it wants to do and do it well. They're comfortable with the ball. They're comfortable enough going forward and playing that quick pass. They are well organized. I think it's a case of very decent profiling and just finding players that aren't necessarily uncomfortable in any sort of situation. They can be under the cosh, they can be playing the quick ball forward, they can have possession. But they seem to really take these sorts of game states in their stride. And really, I think that the front four, more than the defense, as solid as they seem to be. And I think so far it seems like the individual performances have been good. I think that's a front four that is definitely above what you would expect Moreirense's level to be. Schettino has already had that move to Braga in the past. It didn't look work out, but he's shown that he deserves that sort of jump and that he can warrant that. And his work off the ball is usually quite good. He's having a lot of success in front of goal at the moment. So, look, brilliant for him. That's the best of two worlds. I'm very impressed by the two wingers at the moment. Tagoya I wasn't too familiar with, but he's impressed me. I think he's quite good for the level. Kiko Pondoza we're already familiar with for his journey with Vizela in the past. I think that's a great also balance between the two. I think Tagoya can be a little bit more direct. I think Kiko Pondoza can be a little bit looking more for the pass in comparison. And Alan Zee, one again, he's just the heartbeat of the team. And I really don't know how he's still playing for Moreirense, not even going back to likes of the big boys in Brazil. There's a great player there in terms of ball playing and making things happen. That he's probably at this point one of the best outside of the top four, the typical top four. And yeah, I'm not too sure if he would have a spot in those clubs, because obviously it's a very distinct profile. Physically, he's not the greatest, so maybe it's a bit of a strange fit. But in terms of technical quality and his passing range and all of that, he is a great player. And look, I do expect a decent season from what it is, from what I've seen, because make no mistake about it, it's not a massive test, especially at home, because they do tend to make Morelia a very tough place to visit. But 2-0 against Vitória, where at no point did it look like Vitória were definitely going to win, and they were by far a superior side. It was a balanced game by the looks of things. And look, Vitória by name are the superior club. They have the experience at that sort of level. And they didn't look, even with the likes of Thiago Silva and Andel and players that we do tend to put at really the top, the upper echelon, that Moreirense did not look out of place. They looked relatively comfortable at all times. So yeah, I wouldn't even say that Vitória were too bad, but I think Moreirense really do look quite good, because it's not a case of like these sorts of sides like Casapia, where they have those odd games where they do break forward with some sort of menace. They are quite compact at the back and depend on a great performance from the goalkeeper, and that they Moreirense look quite complete in all moments. So yeah, very impressed by them.
All right, well, I do. You know what? That's got me a little bit excited about Morrowind. So I'll take that, and I'll look forward to watching them in future weeks, because we always like to look for a kind of outsider team that's doing well. So maybe that'll be them this year. All right, gentlemen, I think we are going to leave it there for this week. I know we had a couple of other games on the agenda. I don't think we quite got the time, including well, Arouca 3, VRF 3, which I was tempted to discuss, not least because of that eye-catching scoreline. But Estrela da Amadora 2, Alverca 2, a game with a red card for each team, 35% actual playing time, and an injury to a referee. I mean, it's a real shame we didn't get onto that, but I can encourage the listeners to go and seek out the highlights of that game at the very least if you want a little afternoon's entertainment. But we will leave it there. We'll of course be back next week, where top of the agenda is going to be that Clásico between Sporting and Porto, which is going to be a fantastic game. We'll also round up all the action from next week's Primeira Liga fixtures. But yeah, I think it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.